Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. We've been talking about spiritual warfare and standing up, being able to withstand the schemes and the planning, the plots of the enemy, of the devil, in the end day. And so we know that this is the end time. We know we're in a battle for our very soul and for the soul of our nation and for our family. And so this teaching today is going to be about dealing with anxiety, dealing with the forces that the devil brings against us to try to get us to give up, to try to get us into despair and depression, and try to get us to say, I quit. And the Lord has a special word for you today. If you're in that situation and you feel tired, you are exhausted, and life has you by the handcuffs, you might say, and is just wearing you down, then this message is going to be for you today so that you can stand firm and you continue to stay in the battle. You continue to keep your head up and your arms up and stay in the battle and be victorious, because you know that God wants you to be victorious. You know that God is with you, and so this is going to be a good teaching for you today. Well, first I want to reiterate what we talked about last week from Ephesians 6 in verse 13. It says, take up therefore the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so God has this desire for us to stand, and Paul makes this point very clear. He wants you to stand in the battle, not retreat, not go sideways, not go round and round in circles out into the wilderness area, but to stand against the enemy and to proclaim and decree success and proclaim and decree victory over the enemy. And if you will do that, if you'll take up the whole armor of God, you'll be able to do that. And if you don't know what the whole armor of God is, you can look in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 12, and go up until verse 19, and it's a description of the armor of God. But basically, all those pieces put together describe Jesus Christ in our life. All of those pieces are a representation of different aspects of Jesus Christ in our life, to cover our head, to cover our internal organs and our heart, to cover our belt of truth, our sexual organs, and to cover our feet with the gospel of peace. And all these different pieces of armor, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, are given to us, but they are all representations of Jesus Christ in our life. And beloved, if you're struggling today, if you have a need for more peace, if you feel rattled, if you feel like you want to quit, if you have suicidal thoughts or thoughts of death and destruction, we need to stand firm on Jesus Christ. You listen today and take to heart these words that I am going to speak to you today, and God will give you the strength. He'll give you the peace. He'll give you the desire, the motivation to keep going, even in the face of a lot of conflict, in the face of a lot of struggles, in the face of a lot of tribulation and trials. He will give you the strength to continue, and you will be successful. You will be victorious, even in the face of great opposition. Well, as we consider the issue of anxiety and depression here in America, I just want to bring a few statistics to you to let you realize the scope of the problem. One, if you're dealing with this, that you're not alone. And secondly, just to let you know that many, many people have turned to drugs and turned to the psychiatric avenues of remedy here. And in 2013, by the latest statistics that I could find, about 78.5 million, and probably by now 80 million people in America are taking psychiatric drugs. That doesn't include any people that are in despair and counseling that are not taking the drugs, but just the ones that are taking drugs includes 78.5 million people here in America. And another 10 million are taking ADHD drugs. That's attention deficit hyperactive disorder drugs. And so when you add that to the 78 million, you're talking about roughly 90 million people in America that are taking these drugs as medication. That doesn't also include the people who are medicating themselves with illegal drugs, street drugs, that have the mind-numbing effect and the same type of effects in many ways as the legal drugs do. In America, the antidepressants account for 41 million people taking the antidepressants and the anti-anxiety drugs, Xanax and Valium and Halcyon, those type of drugs, 36 million plus are taking those drugs. And that is a sad commentary on life in America. Many, many people want to come to America because they think life here is free and easy. They think this is the pot of the gold at the end of the rainbow, the greatest place on earth to live. And in many, many ways, it is the greatest place. We are blessed with so many blessings in material wealth and health care and education, all these different things that we have here in America in abundance. Great food supply, clean water supply, all these things are given to us here by the Lord in great abundance. But it's also a place of a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of depression, a lot of suicide. And so we need to be ready to deal with all of these things that the enemy throws against us. And so I'm going to be looking at Scripture here to give us a sense of God's plan for our life and what He thinks about all of these things and how we can stand against the enemy and stand with the plan of God, a plan for success, a plan for victory, and a plan that we can be conquerors over these things in our life. Well, Philippians 4:6 is a great scripture I like to refer to often. It says in 4:6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so we come to a place where we're anxious, where we start to be filled up with thoughts of fear and thoughts of anxiety and despair. And we say, we just can't go on any longer. We can't stand up against the onslaughts. There's too many things coming against us, our families against us, maybe financially we're struggling, can't get the bills paid. And so all of these things start to accumulate. It's like a snowball going down the hill. When it starts, it's a very small snowball. But as it gets closer to the bottom of the hill, it starts to pick up more and more snow. And after a while, it becomes an avalanche. And that is the devil's plan for you, that he starts to just stick more and more slime on you. He starts to come against you with more and more plans. And you think you're isolated. You don't think you have any friends. You don't think God is for you. And so Paul says to the Philippians, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And so there's two or three things we can take from that passage of Scripture. And the Lord is saying, you need to spend more time in prayer. If you are succumbing to anxiety and depression and despair in your life, you need to spend more time in prayer, spend more time with the Lord. And at the same time that you're spending more time, it's okay to ask the Lord for things you need in your life. It's okay to say, "Lord, these are my needs. Lord, this is what I'm lacking. This is what I need. I need a job. I need peace. I need food. I need whatever it is that you need." It's okay to ask the Lord for all those things, but be in an attitude of thanksgiving. Thank the Lord for every little thing in your life. Thank Him for the air that you breathe. Thank Him for the sunshine on your face today. Thank You for the wind. Thank You for the rain that allow the crops to grow so I can have food on the table. Thank You when somebody calls you to ask how you're doing. Thank You for your family. Everything that He has given in your life, you be coming to the Lord with a heart of gratitude, even for the smallest things, and just get in the habit of saying, "Praise God, Buona Safiwe, praise the Lord. Thank You for every single thing." And when you let your requests be made known to the Lord and you say it with a heart of thanksgiving, then the Bible also says, pray believing as if you have already received. Pray believing as if you have already received. That's Mark 11:24, where Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. So we learn two things from that scripture. One, pray believing that you've already received. Well, if you can look forward down the road, if you can look ahead and think about how joyful you will be and how much satisfaction and how much contentment and peace you'll have if your prayer, whatever you're asking the Father for, if your prayer is answered, you would be in great joy, you would be in jubilation and in great celebration. So be thankful, pray believing that you've already received, be thankful for whatever the Lord is bringing into your life. And when you're in that type of an attitude, you give thanks, and you even after you've prayed and asked a couple of times, the Lord, He knows what your requests are. He knows what your needs are. He knows what your desires are. And so you can just start thanking Him from that point on. You can thank Him for whatever it is you've asked for. And secondly, what we can learn from that scripture is that if you have aught against anyone, if you have unforgiveness against anyone, ask the Lord to help you to forgive that person. Let go of it. Don't take vengeance yourself. Keep that root of bitterness out of your life. Keep that root of bitterness out of your soul and speak blessings over that person. Just say, Lord, I thank you for that person. I ask you to bless them. I release whatever judgment I have against them, whatever vengeance I have against them. I release that to you, Lord. I ask you to take care of them, Lord. I trust that you can take care of them and every aspect of their life that needs to be changed, that needs to be corrected, that needs to be improved upon, that needs to be judged. You release that to the Lord and let Him have it. Let Him take care of it, and He will take care of it. He is the righteous judge, and He is able to take care of every situation, every detail, no matter how you've been betrayed, no matter how you've been hurt or spoken against, cursed against, or whatever. You release that person to the Lord and let the Lord take care of it. Let the Lord judge that, and He will take care of it in His own time, and it will be perfect. It will be done perfectly, and in every way, things will be done correctly. And you will release that monkey off your back, or that carrying that burden, that weight around. You won't have to carry it around. Let the Lord have it, and you will be walking in freedom in those ways that were weighting you down, in those ways that were burdening you, and you will let the Lord have it, and He will take care of it, and you will walk away in freedom. Well, Philippians 4:7 tells us this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And so that's what we desire for our life. We want that peace. We want to be able to lay down at night and go to sleep and get a good night's sleep. And we want to be able to wake up and be rested. And we want to have that peace so that we're not full of anxiety. We're not full of stress and tension. And so Paul says, when you give your thanks to the Lord and you give your prayers to the Lord, that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. And so we're back to that spiritual armor again, guarding our hearts with the breastplate of righteousness and guarding our minds with the helmet of salvation so that our thoughts are pure, our thoughts are lovely, our thoughts are honorable. And Paul takes this up in the next verse in Philippians 4:8. He says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. And so we need to meditate on those things which are honorable and true and of good report. So many people are consumed with politics. So many people stay up late at night watching all the news reports and all the political pundits weigh in on this and that. And all of that stuff is going to bring a lot more anxiety into your life. All of that stuff is going to bring a lot more fear into your life. And so what I suggest you do is turn off your social media stuff in a decent time at night and spend time in God's Word, spend time in meditation and prayer, and not yoga type meditation, but meditating on God's Word, and spend time thanking the Lord. And you have to get more of the Lord's Word and that good report of the Lord into your life, that He is going to take care of you, He is going to guard you, He is going to guard your mind and your heart, And when you do that, you'll start to sleep better and you will start to wake up refreshed. You'll be ready to tackle the challenges of that next day. And so when you do that, God is going to guard you and bless you. And you need to spend time then with Him in His Word and in prayer to have that peace and that satisfaction and that contentment in your life. Well, Proverbs 12:25 tells us where this anxiety comes from. It says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. Well, that good word, beloved, is going to come from God's word. That good word will come from the word of God, which is a good word into our heart, a good word into our soul. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so when we take that good word of God's word into our heart, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be content. And no matter what comes our way, we need to give thanks for it. Paul takes this up in Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in regard to need, Paul says, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And verse 12, I know how to be abased, that is to live humbly, and I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, and both to abound and to suffer need. And so no matter what is happening in your life, whether you have a good job or a mediocre job, or maybe you have no job and you're looking for a job, you give thanks to the Lord. And maybe you're eating beans and rice or ramen noodles, you give thanks to the Lord. But if you have the money and you have steak and potato on your plate, you give thanks to the Lord because you are content. And no matter what situation or circumstance you find yourself, you be content in those things. And not to boast here, but I'm saying I've learned to live with little, and I've learned to live with a lot. I've driven brand new cars in my life, and I've also driven a lot of cars with 200,000 miles on them. I've traveled across Africa by foot and by motorcycle, by bus. I've lived with the African people. I've eaten ugali, cornmeal mush, and greens day after day, and I've traveled on buses that took 14 hours to go across the country, and I've learned to live, and I'm grateful that the Lord has kept me and guarded me and been able to live to see another day. And so when you become content in all things and you start to meditate on everything is the Lord's, everything is given to us by God. We own nothing here. Nothing belongs to us. And we're just stewards of whatever God puts in our hands. When you start to understand that and you start to give thanks to the Lord for everything, then in every situation, you can be content. Now, I don't mean by that that if you don't have a job, you're content with being unemployed. If you need to be making money and you need to be supporting yourself and your family, you need to get out and do that and give thanks for the Lord for the job that He has for you. But in every situation, just learn to be content. And if you are content in the meager things, and in, as Paul says, I've learned to be abased or to live very humbly. And I'm sure if you picture Paul, he probably traveled by foot many times, or in very difficult circumstances. He probably slept many times outdoors. He probably slept on mats in very basic hotels or in people's houses. And that is a true servant of God, that whatever God calls you to do, you do it with the best of your ability, and you do it humbly, and you give thanks for whatever you have and whatever circumstance you find yourself in, you give thanks for it. And Paul goes on to say, and this is a great scripture for many of us, we should memorize the scripture, Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so when you take that attitude that it's Christ who gives you the strength, it's Christ that gives you the ability to stand, it's Christ who guards you, He guards your mind, He guards your heart, it's Christ who gives you the motivation, the direction, Christ gives you all things, and so you give thanks to Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, another way that we allow anxiety into our life is when we are openly sinning, when we are open up doors for the devil to come into our life, and we allow the devil to keep running in and out of those open doors, and we don't close those doors of sin down, and so we have a lot of anxiety because the devil takes advantage of those opportunities. The devil comes to know us and is very familiar with us, and he has the demons to track us through our families and through every circumstance and situation. And so we need to stop sinning. We need to close up those doors and not allow the devil to run in and out of our life. Proverbs 19, verse 23, "The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil." And so we need to have fear in our life, beloved, and not fear to go forward in whatever God calls us to do. We need to have fear of the Lord. That is a reverent fear, a fear of standing before God, of looking down the road and standing before God and saying before God, "We need to fear you, and we need to see how we're going to be held accountable, that every word that we speak, every act that we do, every work that we work, all of these things are going to be held in account before God on that day of judgment." And for Christians, that's going to be the judgment seat of Christ. And everything that we've done, every work that we've worked, whether for the Lord or against the Lord or whatever, is going to come into account, and we're going to have to make an account before the Lord for those things. And so when we have a reverent fear of God and we look down the road to what we're going to have to do in the standing before the Lord, that should bring a reverent fear. And so we start to close the doors to the devil. We start to speak against the devil and the ways that he comes into our life. And when you do that, you will have peace. You will have peace not only on this earth, but you will have peace when you stand before the Lord and you make an account for him, because you will not have that anxiety that comes when you have to cover things up and when you have to manipulate things and try to put a face on and makes it look like things are going much better in your life than they really are. And so you be in fear of the Lord. Proverbs 12:28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death." So that's the same type message that we get from Proverbs 19:23. A righteous life leads to peace. A righteous life leads to less anxiety. You do your very best to live a life of righteousness, to keep the commandments of the Lord, to obey the commandments of the Bible, not just the Ten Commandments, but every way that the Lord speaks to you through his word. You do your very best to keep those commandments. Proverbs 15, verse 16 says, "Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble." When people lie and they cheat and they steal and they try to gain things in the material realm or in reputation that they have no right to and they haven't worked for, then there is going to be great anxiety with that. So it says that there is better life with a little, where there's fear of the Lord, than great treasure with trouble. So again, be satisfied with less. You don't have to keep up with your neighbors. If it's causing you a lot of anxiety, if it causes you to cheat on your taxes or cheat in your business or cheat in your job, however it causes you to not keep the commandments of the Lord and you're not fearing the Lord, beloved, get back to a simpler life. Cut out the things in your life that you don't need, where you're just trying to keep up with your neighbors. Cut those things out and be ready to stand before the Lord and say, "I lived a simple life, but I was in fear of you, God. I was in reverence to you, and so I'm thankful for what you gave me." And if you do that, God will then bless you. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." That doesn't mean he's going to put a new Cadillac in your driveway. He may if you've worked for it. He may if you've been diligent and saved your money for it. But everybody isn't going to get the American dream instantly just because you claim it and name it, or name it and claim it. That isn't necessarily going to be a part of your portfolio. But if you work hard, you're diligent, you pay your taxes, you pay your tithe, you fear the Lord and take care of his commandments and cherish everything that he does for you and everything that He gives for you, then you're going to succeed. You're going to have the material blessings. You're going to have that peace passes all understanding, and your heart and your mind will be at peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, God does not give us fear that comes from the devil. And so if you have a lot of fear, you need to have faith. The opposite of faith is fear. God wants you to have more faith, that He wants to bless you, that He wants to take care of you, and you speak against that fear in your life. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. So it is God's will that you have a sound mind. It is God's will that you not give in to that spirit of fear that the devil wants to put on you. And it is God's will then that you move forward in boldness and in confidence. You can even go forward without all those anti-anxiety or anti-depression drugs. If you're taking them now, get with your doctor and maybe make a plan to take them out of your life and just start trusting the Lord that He is going to take care of you and He is going to guard your mind and guard your heart in Christ Jesus. Well, we're going to continue on this theme next week. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry, and so I ask each and every one of you, if you are being blessed by these broadcasts, if you appreciate these broadcasts, sit down, write us out a check, send it to Box 92, Norton, Kansas, and we will be thankful for that. We appreciate bringing these broadcasts to you. We're thankful for the radio station that we have been able to bring these broadcasts to you for 11 years now, and I know that God wants these broadcasts to continue, and also we have many good projects going in Africa that you might want to be a part of. You can go to the website, gathertheoutcast.com, look at those projects, and we hope many of you come to stand with this ministry and help to propel this ministry to even greater open doors of opportunity here in 2017. Well, thank you for listening today. God bless you. Stay tuned for contact information. Tune in again next week.